welcome to the Comic Cast, Ireland's number one comic book podcast. I'm Craig.
I'm Liam. I thought for a minute there you were going to say the full, you know, welcome to the Comic Cast in that really slow and loud voice.
Oh, yeah, no.
You gave up.
No, I wasn't going to do that.
Vocal cords.
You might have thought it was, but I wasn't. I just couldn't be bothered.
Yes. So you may have noticed that we've been away for a little while.
So summer holidays. Yes. Summer loving. We're all tanned, but we're back.
And we're going to be reviewing comics and everything. So we're still in our transition period from, you know, getting to... back to work on the podcast. So today's one is a bit of a short one.
Yes.
But we do have some exciting stuff coming up. We're going to review a comic.
I've got two comics.
Two comics, yeah. All right.
There's tons of news. Before we start the comics, any summer tales? Is tales of summer love you want to tell that will happen over your summer? Do you have any stories?
I kind of wish that I did have tales that I had changed the lyrics of the Grease song, Summer Lovin', that I could like sing, to, you know. But no, I don't. Why do you?
No.
It feels like maybe you're fishing for something interesting that did happen.
No, I was hoping. I just thought maybe I might have had some dirt that you were willing to drop on the Comic
Con. Right, when have I ever dished dirt on the...
You do sometimes.
Do I?
Yeah. Maybe you've said some stuff when I've been shaking my head. Like, I can't believe you're putting that out in the public domain. Okay, so I guess we'll just get straight into it, so, and review some comics.
What you been reading?
So what I have been reading is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Ultimate Collection. This is IDW have brought out these sort of oversized hardcovers of the original Turtles comics from like the mid 80s, which I'd read the first issue of, I guess, a while ago, but other than that I'd never actually really been exposed to them. These Turtles comics written and drawn by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. I think that's his name. Comic guys need to get their names.
Get better names.
Yeah, get better names, Laird. You bastards. And what's interesting, I guess, about their art is that they both draw every page and write. And so
what do you mean they both draw?
Exactly. So yeah. So it's not explained, even though this book comes with like commentary by both the guys. They keep going. They keep saying like, oh, you know, everyone is always asking us like, how the hell do you both draw the same page? And we say, you know, that's just the way we do it. But they never give a good explanation.
Yeah.
But basically, I think one of them would do the layouts, and then one would sort of put in, you know, do the rest of it, and then it would go back and they do maybe add in some extra details and stuff. So, but they would just both be drawn on every page. So what that meant is that it would take you can see the dates on the comics, so it takes maybe 3 months per issue for it to come out, so there's quite a long delay, I guess, when you're reading them originally. Not a problem with this collection, because you have all the issues in one hardcover case. There's 4 books, each one has about 8 issues.
Okay.
Covering basically the first couple of years of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What you might have heard about the comics is that I remember definitely when I was younger, people, oh, the comics are gritty, like they're so, you know,
yes,
dark.
I have heard this. Yeah.
And like
they're just like shooting people in the head.
Yeah, exactly. And like, no, it's pretty much, it's fairly similar to what you know from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They definitely like they fight guys and using there's Donatello, he's got a bow staff, you know, Leonardo has a sword. All the classic stuff from the Turtles is there. What's really interesting about this comic, what really grabbed me is it's drawn, the art side's kind of weird, mainly because those two guys work on it together, but it's very unique, definitely. But the fight scenes, the action scenes are quite cool, but the human faces and stuff are kind of weird. But what's sort of so awesome just reading it is how much what's called like the Turtles mythos as it's built up over the years. Like, as you know, like everything is in these first couple of issues, like not just the Turtles and Splinter and Shredder, but even like Krang and stuff, and some of the robot monsters that you remember from the cartoon series, just like sort of throwaway monsters, like it's all in here.
Yeah.
And it's all like in these first few issues. It's like,
yeah, that's almost a testament though to what came later by like people who are reading those comics and they're like, oh, like we need to like expand on this character here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And what's really great as well is what I really like about it is they just have like the craziest fucking ideas. They just don't give a fuck. They're like, oh, these are turtles that are in the sewers, like fighting crime. Then it's like next issue, now they're going to space to fight aliens. Now they're going, you're just like just throwing like crazy shit after crazy shit. So it's not like it's, you know, not every issue they're fighting ninjas or something, which you might think from maybe watching the cartoon is like, oh, they're always fighting Shredder. No, in fact, Shredder dies at the end of the first issue.
Spoilers.
Yeah, and doesn't. And they actually, interestingly, they say in the commentary that they never intended for him to come back at all, but later on in the comics he does come back, and obviously he was a huge part of pretty much every cartoon and movie since. The commentary, the reason to buy this book, by the way,
what makes it ultimate?
What makes it Ultimate is that it's slightly bigger than the previous releases. But what really makes it Ultimate is this commentary by the two guys. So it has, after every issue, it has Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird separately talking about that issue in general terms, and then also like a page by page and some of this panel by panel breakdown of each issue. Just really interesting stuff. But what's really interesting, I guess, is how shortly after they created the comic that... they don't get into too much detail, unfortunately, but how soon like all the balls started rolling, and suddenly there was talks about movies and the cartoon series stuff that we all know, but how this sort of kind of came between them, and their egos, you could pretty quickly, I think they only did like 11 issues and a couple of mini issues together before they had to start working separately, where like all the success kind of thrown on them, and they look back at it and they're pretty open about like, you know, I was being a bit of a dickhead here, but you know, it was going to my head, the success and stuff. And it's incredible that the first issue they just wrote and published themselves, and like I said, 7 issues later they've got a movie coming out, they've got a TV series, you know what I mean? It's incredible to think that they were, I don't think something like that would happen today necessarily, where you could self-publish something and that quickly be that far along. I think in these, I don't know, I just don't think that it's something that, you know, happened in the 80s, but yeah. I don't think it would happen now. One other thing is they are clearly, like very clearly, just trying to, especially in the first issue, ape Frank Miller's Daredevil. I was going to say a subtle homage. It's not subtle at all. And stuff I didn't even really realize, like the Turtle's main enemy, Shredder, but his ninjas are called the Foot. And in Daredevil, he fights the Hand, like who are just a bunch of ninjas. Like it's just so obvious. But until I read it in a comic book form, I just never put two and two together.
Yeah.
And even the slime that, or the mutant slime that, whatever that turns them from regular turtles into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is basically in this. It shows and Daredevil, basically how he got turned into Daredevil. He gets like this sort of radioactive thing hits him in the eyes. And that gives him his powers, but in this it hits some kid in the eyes, he's clearly Daredevil, but then it just falls, you know, into the sewers, and that gives the turtles their powers. So you know, just really sort of cool sort of homage to that stuff. If you're a big fan of Daredevil like I am, you'll like that stuff. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I would say that the comics themselves haven't aged like too well. If you don't have like a love of the Turtles, you're not going to read this and it's going to change your mind. You know, it's very much a Turtles comic and sort of more of a curiosity. And, you know, for example, like another comic, you know, say Watchmen came out in the 80s. You give someone to Watchmen today, it's going to do something for them. But I don't think this is going to particularly do anything for you unless you're into the Turtles.
Yes.
But that said, these four collections are... I think they're about €50 each, but they're like 300 pages, really nice paper, you know, the art looks really well blown up, and yeah, I would recommend them if you thought you'd be even slightly interested in the Turtles collection, then this is the one to pick up.
So I guess just briefly, this will be a good time to talk about how do we feel about Michael Bay and the Turtles rumors.
I haven't been following this closely. I thought it had come out, and then he said he wasn't doing it or wasn't happening. So I think it's been shot down, but I haven't really been following too closely.
Comcast with another exclusive.
Yeah. But I feel awful about it. Is the honest answer. I don't think. Michael Bay could make a good movie if his wife and kids were held at gunpoint and he was given all the money in the world and 3 months.
He'd hire Spielberg to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my wife and kids, Steven.
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, never. Maybe the original Bad Boys is all right. Like, you know, yeah, he couldn't. So right. I don't see how he could make a good Turtles movie. And I really loved the last CG movie that came out 5 or 6 years ago. I thought that was kind of underrated. And actually, I think that's an incredible movie in terms of a Turtles CG movie.
Yeah.
There's also a new Turtles animated series coming out, and I don't know if you've seen that. It's kind of got a weird... It's a CG series. It's got a weird kind of style. If you look at the still pictures, I think it looks really rough. But I was watching some clips of it in movement, and I thought it looked okay. So I'm tentatively excited about that. I mean, I'm like... To sort of throw it all out on the card, my cards on the table here. Like I still regularly watch the most recent 2D animated Turtle series, which is incredible, except maybe near the end. But the first couple of seasons are like actually some of the best animated turtle action you can get on DVD. So you know, if you haven't watched those, you should check those out. But yeah, if I had a gun, I'd shoot Michael Bay. If I had a gun with one bullet and the opportunity.
Why do I feel this podcast is going to be used in a court of evidence?
I feel like every podcast, yeah, it's like something's going to come back.
All right, well, we will have a review of Jerry Hunt's latest comic book, colored by Matthew Griffin, who we've had on the show before, and we've had Jerry, so you can look in the archives and hear those interviews.
Yeah, basically made both of those guys. They were nothing before they were on the comic yes. guys.
Well, yeah, we, yeah. Should, well, I, we did suggest Matthew Griffin to the O'Brien Press as you know, so they hired him.
I suggested to
the Comicast, like creating employment.
I saw a Jerry Hunt drawing once with a HB pencil. I told him you should use a 2B.
Change his life.
Yeah. And suddenly he's releasing books at O'Brien Press.
Right, back to the comic book review. And what else have you got?
This is going to be a short one. I've gotten Hark a Vagrant, the webcomic. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You're looking at me like you're not familiar with it.
No. No. Wait there. I completely am familiar with this. Yes, of course. Yeah,
absolutely. By Kate Beaton. They're drawn a quarterly, have released, it came out a while ago, a sort of hardbound collection of the webcomic and also some stuff unreleased. They claim there's unreleased stuff in there. I didn't go and check every single one to see if I could find it on the website or not. I'm going to take their word for it. They haven't lied to me before. I guess if you're not familiar with Hark of Vagrant, A, just go to harkofvagrant.com. But B, it's a webcomic, sort of a webcomic in a general webcomic sense, sort of little sketches, but they're mainly like obscure historical characters or maybe characters from old books, just in sort of, but also sort of talking like in modern day kind of way. It's just sort of a parody on sort of historical things, but they're really, really clever. And Kate Beaton, the artist, writer and artist, she's an incredible caricaturist. I think if you ever look at comics, her style, it seems like it looks like it's been drawn real hastily, but can really capture like a character, or you know, do a good character of a person or of a real person very easily, or it comes across very naturally. Yeah. Very easily. And so this collection, I think as a book, a coffee table book is the right way to read this comic. I don't think it works as well on the website for some reason, but it's perfect for just flicking through and reading. And it'll have like maybe in the book they'll have all the comics of a particular sort of type together, so you get back to back any recurring characters. My favorite one being what are they called? Crime solving teens or something like that, okay. Which is kind of like you know, like the like Enid Blyton's, you know, the Fabulous Five or one of those. Yeah. But it's like, so the concept being like, why would anyone trust teenagers to solve crimes? So it'll just be like, we need your help, find, you know, in this murder, and then the teenagers just be outside like smoking a cigarette or something, and then they'll just come in and make up, you know, the guy's getting arrested, he's like, I didn't do anything.
Which is amazing,
just an absolutely incredible concept. To be honest, that's about all I've got to say. Well, you should check it out on the website. You don't need to buy the book, but I would recommend it. I feel it just reads a lot better as a book. And also this is on the website too, but she's added sort of new notes and just sort of give context for a lot of the jokes. Like a lot of the obscure historical stuff you're not going to get without, you know, without reading her notes and then maybe doing some Wikipedia stuff. So sometimes a joke, you won't get it, and then you'll go on the internet and you'll read a Wikipedia, and then, a little laugh will escape.
And you're learning at the same time.
Exactly. And actually, this book has an index at the back, which is something I haven't seen in a webcomic collection before, where all the historical characters are there and you can find them all. So,
that's great.
Check Sounds it out. Good, yeah. I really enjoyed it. We move on to news. That's our new this is a new episode of Comicast, so we've got a new theme tune for the news. Do you want me to just start going through my news?
Yeah, go through your news. Now over to Craig at the news desk.
Yes. Do you watch Newsroom at all? That TV show?
Newsroom, you know what, like to briefly digress. I watched just a clip of it, and I believe it was from the first episode where Jeff Daniels is at some sort of college you know, thing. So like, and I heard loads of people saying that, like, oh, the Newsroom, it's like, it's really bad, it's nowhere near as good as the West Wing. And I was watching this clip, and you know, about where the guy asks him you know, the question, something about, is he proud of America or something, and Jeff Daniels goes off in this superb rant trying not to answer the question. And it's brilliant. I thought, this is actually really good. But then he kind of turns the rant midway through. He starts going, you know, America could be the greatest. Yeah. If we did this, America could be great if we did that. And I was like, oh no, you've totally lost me. This is awful.
That scene is awful. And the show's much better than that scene. I would recommend you continue watching. It's not perfect. It's got a lot of problems. Especially if you've watched The West Wing, because they've just copied like some stuff just straight out of it, like some storylines straight out of it.
Just,
but anyway.
Just Martin Sheen is just coming walking by.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, anyway. Newsroom. This is our Newsroom. That was the sort of reference there. Kick-Ass 2, that movie's being made.
Please tell me that was just the end of that piece of news.
Yeah, yeah. No, Jim Carrey has been cast in it. As, yeah, yeah, as one of the superheroes. I just think,
Are we thinking back to so Batman and Robin?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Batman and Robin.
Batman Forever.
Forever. Yeah, yeah.
The Jim Carrey one. Yeah, yeah. So I think he's playing
a
more
great
serious.
If he was playing the Riddler.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing. I can't remember the name of his character, Colonel or something.
Right.
But he's a more serious character. So I would expect this to be more of the serious Jim Carrey. You know, the number 23 Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Rather than,
I love you, Philip Morris. Jim Carrey.
That was a rough one. So that's one piece of news. Joe Kubert, artist extraordinaire, has unfortunately passed away at age 85. Last thing he was working on was one of the Four Watchmen comics
with his son
Andy Kubert.
They're the ones we reviewed in the last episode.
He was working with DC Comics since 1943.
Wow,
that's impressive. And up until just recently.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool. So that's sad. He was an incredible artist. Less sad news, but still quite sad. Ed Brubaker, a writer of Captain America and Criminal and a few other comics, has left Marvel Comics. I feel like there's a bit of a scoop here, but we don't have it because we don't have the access. But up until recently, he was like, I'm finishing all my Marvel books except Winter Soldier. I'm going to write that book forever. And then it's like, I'm no longer writing that book anymore. Very sudden. So behind the scenes secrets there that I'm not familiar
with. I feel like we've turned into one of those awful American entertainment things where they take like a tiny piece of news that you don't really have any information about and then speculate.
That's exactly what that was.
Probably those Marvel pricks were probably bullying them.
That was the whole idea behind today's news section. to come up with rumors. Speaking of backside rumors or industry secrets where we don't have all the information, Rob Liefeld, this is like amazing. You need to check this shit out right now. Stop listening to the podcast or continue listening and I'll tell you. But then afterwards, check it out. He has left DC Comics. He was writing and drawing a few different comics for the DC relaunch, from last year. And he's left, but in a blaze of fucking glory on Twitter, just burning everyone he's working, just going like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Trust me, go to Twitter, follow Rob Liefeld. He's just fucking taking anyone down that he can. Anyone he's
the Comicast is next.
Yeah, yeah, but interesting stuff. Don't tweet at him because it'll be you. He'll take that. But he's saying basically like that the editorial interference with regards to this DC relaunch was so much that he just couldn't work there anymore. And a couple other people that are working on those DC books have left. So maybe there is. I bet there is some truth to it. But he was saying that it'd just be like he did deliver a script with the four or five characters, and they're like, we said you could use those characters, but actually no, now you have to rewrite the entire fucking thing, and everything you've got planned out for the next few issues has changed. And he's just like, I'll take the money and go, which sounds like the right decision. But and people who still work for DC who are trying to defend DC, like we're talking to him, and he's just like just going back at him, just crazy, just fucking flames, bitch. He just hates. Check it out, it'll blow your mind. Grant Morrison, who's coming to Trinity College soon.
That's true.
Yannick Paquette, who did Batman Incorporated together, are making a new comic, Wonder Woman Year One. I'm excited about this. I've never been excited about a Wonder Woman comic, but I think Grant Morrison could do a good Wonder Woman, so I'm excited. So that's why I've written that down. S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV series, an Avengers spin-off.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard about this. Joss Whedon is working on it.
Well.
Apparently, I haven't really got the full scoop on this. Comic cast for life. but he's announced to be writing and directing Avengers 2 as well. He's helping making this TV show, and from what I understand is sort of working on, in a general sense, on all the Marvel movies going forward. I don't know for how long, but so he has a sort of an editorial hand in all movies, which is great. I think he's the man to do it, considering he has experience in movies, TV and writing comic books, so that's great. He's working on the TV show, but unlike, say, Angel and Buffy and the shows that he really worked on, the showrunner of the show is actually going to be his brother, Jed Whedon, who helped him do Dr. Horrible. He did most of the writing for Dr. Horrible, as far as I know. So,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. Should be good. Yeah, exciting. So I think they're filming the pilot this year with the air it next year. I think a S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show can be good. I don't know, obviously they're not going to get Sam Jackson or whatever, but it'd be interesting. I was thinking, like, I don't know if they'll do this, but they'll know when they're doing a series, like say the series is ending in May, but they'll know that say Thor 3 is coming out in that June, and they could have, you know, they could lead into it in some ways, you know what I mean?
Which absolutely, that'd be great.
It'd be really interesting to see. I don't know if they will do that, but they should explore that, I think. So if they're listening, that one's for free, Marvel. I mentioned Avengers 2. There's also rumors that the Wachowski siblings are to direct the Justice League movie. The Justice League being, you know, Batman and Superman and what that DC, obviously.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Siblings.
Yeah.
So, but like, have you only found out recently that they are siblings and not brothers, as is so often said?
No,
or
well,
have they confused something here?
No, well, he had a sex change.
Oh, okay.
So,
did not know that.
Yeah. So, Andy is now Lana.
okay.
That's what happens when you've got fucking Mad Matrix money. You can just get your sex. All right,
I was really confused because I didn't know that. And I, like, earlier on, I read something about, you know, the Wachowski brothers, you know, who are actually brother and sister.
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, I didn't know that. Like, it must be like a thing, you know, that they just, so, all right.
Yeah. Right. No, yeah, it's weird. I was trying to think. Like, I can't think of any other duo except the Coen brothers where, like, you know.
Oh, the guy who did the Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah, sure. But I'm just thinking, like.
Farley's.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Pretty much anyone that's a duo that are brothers. But, you know, their whole identity, like, is around them being two males, you know,
yeah,
brothers.
Yeah,
and, like, everyone
true.
Has to change how they say. Not that, I mean, not that that should affect your decision, but it's
sort
of.
Well, I suppose, actually, now that we're talking about it, I think there's a radio show on NPR called The Kitchen Sisters.
Okay.
Have you ever heard this? But it's a guy and a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Who do it so. Anyway, there we go. We digress.
Yeah. So they're making.
We've all learned something new.
Yes, they're making a Justice League movie, or that's the plan. It's interesting to think about what will they do in terms of Batman. Will they include Batman in the Justice League movie? Potentially they could, if they were rebooting Batman, they could introduce him in the Justice League movie and spin him out into his own movies. By putting Batman in it, they're guaranteeing, you know, a decent amount of money, or a decent amount of people be interested in it anyway. Again, with Superman, they already have a new Superman coming out, Henry Cavill, but I don't know what his contract like. Maybe there could be a weird scenario where he mightn't be the Superman in a Justice League movie. They might have two Supermen. Who knows? Will Ryan Reynolds come back as Green Lantern? Definitely not. You know, will they have Aquaman in it? Hopefully not. So it's really weird. I was listening to a podcast with Brian Michael Bendis at Marvel, and he was saying that what Marvel have is, he's one of the head writers in Marvel, and what they have is a sort of brain trust of the top writers at Marvel that they don't really work on the movies per se too much, but they do. The writers of the movies come to them with ideas, just basic story ideas, and they sort of vet all these ideas, just go over them, go, oh, no, that's not a good idea, and saying like, so that just like really stupid ideas like don't make it to screen, that, you know, people who know these characters sort of look over and go, no, that would never happen, that just doesn't make any sense, you need to do something else. And that Warner and DC do not have anything like that, and that's why, for example, the Green Lantern movie, you know, like clearly, I agree with him. I I've watched that movie. Definitely, someone should have stepped in and said, "Hang on, you know, maybe." And you know, in one sense, you might think, "Oh, it's great that there's a singular vision." Like one thing I can say about Green Lantern is it wasn't made by committee. I'm pretty sure there was like one vision. One fucking lunatic that fucking got exactly what he wanted up on screen. And maybe that's
why I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that's sort of to be celebrated. Not to go back in a Green Lantern review, but at least it's not sort of like just bland that has just been fucking, there's no edge on it, like it's balls to the wall fucking crazy and it fails miserably, but at least they gave it a fucking go, you know. Also, Marvel Now ! Marvel Now is happening in a few months, and it's basically,
I don't know, maybe I want Marvel later.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of their response to the DC relaunch of last year. Marvel are relaunching all their books,
right.
But unlike the DC one, it's not a story reboot.
Right.
It's just a continuation of these stories, but with different writers and artists. And so what they've done pretty cleverly is put like pretty much all the best writers and artists, at least, that are working at Marvel on the biggest Marvel books, which is a no brainer. But for some reason they don't seem to do it all.
I would have said like surely that's I would have thought that's what they would have been doing.
Yeah. It's probably. Is a lot of, and I was about to get to this, the problem is a lot of the big artists can't draw 12 issues a year, you know, like, and almost have no interest in doing it, because if you're a big name artist, if you spend 2 or 3 days on your page, and you sell the page for fucking $3,000 or ten grand. You know what I mean? So it's worth their time and money to actually, and also do less art makes their art more valuable because there's less of it out there. Yeah. So it's worth their time to almost, you know, do less. So a lot of these big artists you'll see will only do 6 issues a year or something like. Huh? But so what they've done, I guess. So I'm gonna read out a list here of some of the good ones, but I guess what I was gonna say is, even though they have these big names and artists at the start, I kind of say at least half of them, after maybe 6 issues or 12 issues, you'll see lesser artists sort of taking over, or maybe, you know, two artists working on the same book. But anyway, so just a quick rundown of the comics that are coming out. It started, I think Marvel now starting in November, but it's not, again, it's not like the DC one where it was all like all 1 month. I think it's happening over November, December, January. Some books are coming out. So new books are coming out. Uncanny Avengers, Rick Remender and John Cassaday, All New X-Men, All New X-Men, by Brian Michael Bendis and Stuart Immonen. All New X-Men, I don't know if I've talked about this, is I think this is a great idea, is like the X-Men from the past, not too distant past, when they're maybe a bit younger than they are now, coming to the future. But in the Marvel Universe at the minute, pretty much all the mutants are dead, shit's fucked up, and you know, and so while when they were young, like in the X-Men cartoon, they're working for Professor Xavier trying to make a better future for mutants, but now these mutants are coming to the future and saying, oh, there isn't actually a future, why are we bothering? So apparently they're pretty pissed off, so that sounds pretty good. Avengers by Jonathan Hickman and Jerome Opina. New Avengers by Jonathan Hickman and Steve Epting. A new Iron Man book by Kieran Gillen and Greg Land. A new Thor book, Thor, God of Thunder, Jason Aaron, Isid Ribic. Indestructible Hulk by Mark Waid and Len Liu. I've read about 3 Hulk comics in my life, but the idea of Mark Waid and Len Liu working together on a Hulk book is like mind-blown. That's going to be incredible. Fantastic Four by Matt Fraction and Mark Bagley. If you go to DICE, you can ask Matt Fraction himself about this Fantastic Four book, and he might tell you, and I don't know. Also FF by Matt Fraction and Mike Allard. FF is the Future Foundation.
Follow Friday.
Follow
Friday. Look at my Twitter.
And last but not least, Captain America by Rick Remender and John Romita Jr. Oh, and there's a, I didn't write it down, but rumored, pretty much confirmed, is there's a Guardians of the Galaxy book by Brian Michael Bendis, with the idea, I guess, of getting people excited about Guardians of the Galaxy again before the movie comes out. So while all those books are coming out, unfortunately a load of titles have been cancelled. So again, I'll just run these down these real quick, and I want to hear the tears of comic nerds flowing as they hear their favourite books being cancelled. Avengers, Captain America, Deadpool, Fantastic Four, FF, Incredible Hulk, Invincible Iron Man, New Avengers, The Mighty Thor, and Uncanny X-Men. You might notice that all those titles were in fact pretty much the same titles that they're bringing back. So they're just cancelling a load of books and then just bringing out the books with the exact same name but just different people on them. Is all the news I have. I could make up some news if we need to kill some more time.
No, I think we're good for time.
Do you have any news?
No.
When is that Jerry Hunt book out, and what's it called?
I'm cutting that bit. I don't know. So we're gonna do 2 endings now, all right, just in case. But anyway, so that's about it for today's episode. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with your regular comic cast. God only knows what we'll be talking about, but do comics. Stay tuned. We are on facebook.com/thecomiccast. We're on Twitter @thecomiccast. You can always email us at thecomiccast@gmail.com. Google Plus probably as well.
It's the same,
same. So, like, I mean, any means.
Pretty much any social network that exists, or any way of contacting people, if you just type in The Comic Cast, I'm pretty sure we're on it.
Yes.
Even MySpace. There's a... Okay, no, not on MySpace. I like it. Yes, we're not on Pinterest. I don't know how Pinterest works. I don't know if you can be on Pinterest.
I mean, there's a fall-off point where, like, as these new things... You know, I made the leap to Facebook after Bebo. I made the leap to Twitter.
Yeah.
I feel like... I feel like I'm old and I can't leap too much anymore.
What I like to do is whenever a new social network comes out is sign up and just make my login, like my name, just Craig.
Yeah.
Because then I hope that social network takes off and
And you
Craig.
Can sell it.
But it's never happened. There's always a Craig. Fucking Craig McLaughlin. Fucking has nothing better to do than just wait for fucking new social networks to pop up and steal my fucking username.
Yeah, a bit like you.
Yeah, a bit like me, but more
but
successful.
Not you.
What a douchebag.
All right.
Anyway.
I thought you were going to say goodbye there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'll say goodbye. Oh, yeah, I wasn't sure what we were doing. You were playing footsie with me, and I just got sort of excited and aroused and distracted. thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you soon in 2 weeks. Or we'll talk at you in 2 weeks. It's not a, it's a one-way conversation.
You can try and talk over us if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't listen.
We should do a podcast where we talk and leave spaces for responses from the
audience.
Oh, we
could do the script. We could give the script so people could actually...
And they record it. Yeah, yeah. That's
all right, that's a bonus
idea.
Coming up at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
See you next week.
Bye.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far, like a song of love that clings to me. How the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. Unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.